Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A loving welcome to those who are here in the church auditorium, and to those who have dialed in on the listen line, and to those who've connected via Zoom. And we'll begin with singing hymn number 425. O weary pilgrim, lift your head, for joy cometh in the morning. For God in his own word hath said, that joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hymn number 425. From the Bible, Psalms. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Proverbs. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Isaiah. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when the man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I shall read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. If the disciple is advancing spiritually, he is striving to enter in. He constantly turns away from material sense and looks towards the imperishable things of spirit. Honest, he will be in earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction, till at last he finishes his course with joy. We must have trials and self-denials as well as joys and victories until all error is destroyed. When mortals once admit that evil confers no pleasure, they turn from it. Remove error from thought, and it will not appear in effect. The nature of Christianity is peaceful and blessed. But in order to enter into the kingdom, the anchor of hope must be cast beyond the veil of matter, into the Shekinah into which Jesus has passed before us. And this advance beyond matter must come through the joys and triumphs of the righteous, as well as through their sorrows and afflictions. Like our Master, we must depart from material sense into the spiritual sense of being. Trials teach mortals not to lean on a material staff, a broken reed, which pierces the heart. We do not half remember this in the sunshine of joy and prosperity. Sorrow is salutary. Through great tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Trials are proofs of God's care. Spiritual development germinates not from seed sown in the soil of material hopes, but when these decay, love propagates anew the higher joys of spirit, which have no taint of earth. Each successive stage of experience unfolds new views of divine goodness and love. The sinless joy, the perfect harmony and immortality of life, possessing unlimited divine beauty and goodness without a single bodily pleasure or pain, constitutes the only veritable, indestructible man whose being is spiritual. Let this age, which sits in judgment on Christian Science, sanction only such methods as are demonstrable in truth and known by their fruit, and classify all others as did St. Paul in his great epistle to the Galatians, when he wrote as follows: Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. A change in human belief changes all the physical symptoms and determines a case for better or for worse. When once false belief is corrected, truth sends a report of health over the body. The authentic history of Caspar Hauser is a useful hint as to the frailty and inadequacy of mortal mind. It proves beyond a doubt that education constitutes this so-called mind, and that in turn, mortal mind manifests itself in the body by the false sense it imparts. Incarcerated in a dungeon where neither sight nor sound could reach him, at the age of 17, Caspar was still a mental infant, crying and chattering with no more intelligence than a babe, and realizing Tennyson's description, an infant crying in the night, an infant crying for the light, and with no language but a cry. His case proves material sense to be but a belief formed by education alone. The light which affords us joy gave him a belief of intense pain. His eyes were inflamed by the light. After the babbling boy had been taught to speak a few words, he asked to be taken back to his dungeon and said that he should never be happy elsewhere. Outside of dismal darkness and cold silence, he found no peace. Every sound convulsed him with anguish. All that he ate, except his black crust, produced violent retchings. All that gives pleasure to our educated senses gave him pain through those very senses, trained in an opposite direction. The point for each one to decide is whether it is mortal mind or immortal mind that is causative. We should forsake the basis of matter for metaphysical science and its divine principle. Whatever furnishes the semblance of an idea governed by its principle furnishes food for thought. Through astronomy, natural history, chemistry, music, mathematics, thought passes naturally from effect back to cause. Academics of the right sort are requisite. Observation, invention, study, and original thought are expansive and should promote the growth of mortal mind out of itself, out of all that is mortal. It is the tangled barbarisms of learning which we deplore, the mere dogma, the speculative theory, the nauseous fiction, novels remarkable only for their exaggerated pictures, impossible ideals, and specimens of depravity, fill our young readers with wrong tastes and sentiments. Literary commercialism is lowering the intellectual standard to accommodate the purse and to meet a frivolous demand for amusement instead of for improvement. Incorrect views lower the standard of truth. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step towards the joys of spirit, towards human freedom and the final triumph over the body. There is but one way to heaven, harmony, and Christ in divine science shows us this way. It is to know no other reality, to have no other consciousness of life than good, God, and his reflection, and to rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. Who that has felt the loss of human peace has not gained stronger desires for spiritual joy? The pains of sense quickly inform us that the pleasures of sense are mortal and that joy is spiritual. Would existence without personal friends be to you a blank? Then the time will come when you will be solitary, left without sympathy. But this seeming vacuum is already filled with divine love. When this hour of development comes, even if you cling to a sense of personal joys, spiritual love will force you to accept what best promotes your growth. Friends will betray and enemies will slander until the lesson is sufficient to exalt you. For man's extremity is God's opportunity. The author has experienced the foregoing prophecy and its blessings. Thus, he teaches mortals to lay down their fleshliness and gain spirituality. This is done through self-abnegation. Universal love is the divine way in Christian Science. This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy, that good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. Harmony in man is as beautiful as in music, and discord is unnatural, unreal. From Puritan parents, the discoverer of Christian Science early received her religious education. In childhood, she often listened with joy to these words falling from the lips of her saintly mother: God is able to raise you up from sickness. And she pondered the meaning of that scripture she so often quotes. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If grief causes suffering, convince the sufferer that affliction is often the source of joy, and that he should rejoice always in ever-present love. We cannot deny that life is self-sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul, simply because to the mortal senses, there is seeming discord. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of him restores harmony. Truth will at length compel us all to exchange the pleasures and pains of sense for the joys of soul. Suffering is no less a mental condition than is enjoyment. You cause bodily sufferings and increase them by admitting their reality and continuance as directly as you enhance your joys by believing them to be real and continuous. When an accident happens, you think or exclaim, "I am hurt." Your thought is more powerful than your words, more powerful than the accident itself to make the injury real. Now reverse the process. Declare that you are not hurt and understand the reason why, and you will find the ensuing good effects to be in exact proportion to your disbelief in physics and your fidelity to divine metaphysics. Confidence in God as all, which the scriptures declare him to be. To heal the sick, one must be familiar with the great verities of being. Mortals are no more material in their waking hours than when they act, walk, see, hear, enjoy, or suffer in dreams. We can never treat mortal mind and matter separately, because they combine as one. Give up the belief that mind is, even temporarily, compressed within the skull, and you will quickly become more manly or womanly. You will understand yourself and your maker better than before. All that is made is the work of God, and all is good. The harmony and immortality of man are intact. Christian Science separates error from truth and breathes through the sacred pages the spiritual sense of life, substance, and intelligence. In this science, we discover man in the image and likeness of God. And let us join together for a few moments of silent prayer to be followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Then let us turn to hymn number 275. Praise now, creative mind, maker of earth and heaven. Glory and power to him belong. Joy of the sun and skies, strength where the hills arise. So let us praise with joy and song. Hymn number 275. First Church of Christ Scientists, Carmel, Indiana, is a branch of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts, which is the source of the worldwide headquarters of the Christian Science Movement. Our Sunday services are held at 10:30 on Sundays, and at the same hour, Sunday school is available for young people up to the age of 20. And for those too young to attend Sunday school, we have a children's room where little ones are lovingly cared for. Our reading room is located at 21 West Main Street in the Arts and Design District of the City of Carmel. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 1 to 4. There are three computers that enable you to access citations from the Bible, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, listen to a Christian Science lecture, research healings that have happened and occurred through the years, and also there are biographies about Mary Baker Eddy, and just a place to be still and listen for God's love for you. And then there's a reminder about the Christian Science Media Committee, which is grateful for all the past contributions made. The Media Committee, again, is asking for annual pledges from churches, societies, and individuals to help continue our community outreach through our 24/7 Indiana Inspiration phone line, which is area code 317-854-8484. And the csindiana.org website. Pledges can be emailed to vicki@trainerassociates.com, and contributions may be made via Givelify under the contribute tab on the csindiana.org website. Please send any pledges by January 31, 2023. And now is time to share how Christian Science has blessed you and your loved ones through the study and applications of the truths learned. Your testimonies are encouraged.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. A few months ago, I started having a great deal of pain in the sole and toes of one of my feet, and it was very concerning after what I had heard from a friend having a similar problem. So I did a lot of prayer for work, talked with a practitioner, and it wasn't anything instantaneous, and there wasn't any one thing that solved the problem, but daily, I knew that I was a spiritual idea, and that a spiritual idea, my wife and I say this a lot, spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. And I also knew that God was an active God. He was omni-action, as the science and health says, and just constantly holding to those thoughts. And it didn't stop me from doing anything, but it sometimes was painful. But over probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, the pain has totally gone away. And I am so grateful for everything that has been said in this church, and Mrs. Eddy has written, and all the things I've read about her biographies, her different things that have been in miscellaneous writings. Those are all so important to let us get a grasp of how we can live in the spirit. And I think that's what I've been trying to do a little bit more each day, is live more in the spirit and get away from living in matter. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you.
Thank you for your readings. I have been thinking about two passages that have been very comforting. The one that you read tonight, about wood, something about if you didn't have any friends, would your life be a blank? Something to that effect. And I've often thought about that. And last fall, I had to go to a wedding children was in, and I didn't know anyone, and was going to this reception. And so I got to this nice dinner and wasn't quite sure where I was going to sit. So I was kind of like, okay, God, you're going to have to tell me where you want me to be and express myself, because I was there by myself. And so I sat at one table, and then I realized that they had some assigned tables. So I was like, okay, I found this table, and I was able to sit. It was with a younger group of people they assigned me to. And so I was able to make conversation and talk with them, and able to talk to the bride and just have a nice time. And then there was just the right time for me to kind of excuse myself. I was there for longer than I thought I'd be. So I was just so grateful for evidence of just God filling that need. I remember another time I had to go to a banquet, and I didn't know anyone. And it was a sit-down dinner again. And I got there and I felt like everyone was staring at me. So I kind of just stood there. And I'm like, and I looked to the right and found some place where I could. Anyway, I was able to talk with these are all couples, and just had a different, very different background than mine, but was able to just appreciate their love for each other and their hard work, and just had, you know, very good people, regardless of their different backgrounds. Just was so grateful again that God opened this up for me. I was also grateful. I had a family member just recently kind of say some things about me I didn't feel were true. And I was listening to a talk the other day about never take anything personal. And I've always, and don't make assumptions. I've really tried to work on that. So it, usually when anyone's lashing out, I like to remind myself, I don't need to take it personally. It's not, air is not personal. I love that idea. So I really worked on just, no matter if I've ever gotten contact with or this person, just continue to be loving. Then this past summer, I came in contact with this person and there was a change. They seemed to be more kind. And I was just grateful that I didn't buy into that belief that this, when someone seems to attack you, it's not personal. Air is not personal. And I also love that thing in the lesson this week about man's happiness is not at the disposal of the physical senses, that it really comes from within. It seems to, the world seems to be, it's from somebody or something or a job or whatever, but it's not at the disposal of the physical senses. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed Evan Mellenbacher's spirit view this week, the one that's a video, and it was on government, praying for the government officials, the government, how the government's run. And basically the whole idea was that he went to the Father and said, okay, how can I look at this with people running the government or anybody that's in the leadership capacity? And he came to the conclusion that he's not really looking, what he's looking at is was a similar story in the Bible that Jesus, everybody thought that the Jesus was going to come and save them from the Roman Empire. And the principle that was involved in that was that his answer wasn't that I'm coming to, you know, save you from the Roman government. I'm coming to save you from the idea of sin. And that really opened up a lot of thinking or a lot of thoughts for me in a lot of different ways about the what we are all about in Christian Science, to unsee the material senses, like in the lesson tonight, and to see that we are here to destroy that belief in the idea of sin having any power or having any control or having any validity in our experience. And I've been thinking about that a lot in the last 24, I can't remember if it was yesterday's blog or if it was a couple of days ago, but the thought came to me today while I was playing a game on my phone, Ping Knuckle, and I had a negative score. And the other who I was playing against had a negative score, or they had, I know what it was. It was that I had a negative score. I ended up adding to another negative. And it made me think of my own score. So it made me think of when I remembered whenever I learned this in grade school, that I learned the law or the principle that if you have two negatives that you add. And it always was foreign to me to do that. And I thought, well, that is sort of in relationship to the spiritual idea of our understanding of God's principles, that we don't always understand the idea. We know that mathematics works. We know that idea of adding two negatives, of making it a positive, and that's how you do the problem. I mean, I never understood that at that time. Of course, I have more reasoning now, and I understand it as an adult, and I can think through the principle of the mathematics to see how that really works. And that's sort of the way that God's law is and the understanding of God. I know a little bit about what God's laws are. And I just have to have that faith. The thought came to me is that's what faith is. I had faith in the principle of that mathematical calculation. And that's exactly what's going on with me spiritually. I can understand and I know that God is all. And I just have to have the faith that that's going to be expressed and be demonstrated in my life further down the road. And even now that's what's really happening. But it's just this understanding, this enlightenment that's going to come to fruition in my spiritual understanding. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but it made sense to me today. And I was sort of happy for under that understanding, but I thought I would share that.
Thank you.
Thank you for the readings. I was in the reading room on Tuesday, and I was sitting and thinking about the reading room and how we are attracting, you know, inspired thinking. And lo and behold, this lady walks in, and she said, "Can I pick your brain, you know, for a little bit?" I said, "Sure." And she said, she was a chaplain from one of the Indianapolis area hospitals, and she had had contact with a patient who they thought had, you know, a Christian Science, you know, background or whatever. And she said, we have too many Christian Scientists. We have lots of religions that we, you know, have come through. And she said, we don't really know anything. And she said, I really want to, you know, connect with all the patients that come through. And so, she said, we talked about, and she wanted some journals or something, some back orders for this one person that she was thinking about. And so we talked a little bit, and I said, well, the Christian Science Church has chaplains. And I said, I know they work with the military, and I said, we have Christian Science nurses. So we talked a little bit about how we are, you know, the same and different religions. And she was very, very open-minded, and she was very eager to learn. She said, well, I know that you're not the same as Scientology. And she said, I've been doing a little bit of, you know, research. And so she had to go, but she said, I hope it's okay, but I might come back. I'd like to come back and talk to you some more. I said, we're here from what the hours are. And I said, you know, anybody here be glad to answer questions. And then I gave her this really neat brochure that we have in the reading room that talks about Mary Baker Eddy. And so I gave her that. And I said, this is just a little snippet to show you who founded Christian Science. And so we talked for a little while and then she left, but I was just so, it just brought back to me how open-minded God's child is and how eager God's child is to reach out to people, even though they may have a different faith, they still are wanting to connect with people on that spiritual level. And so I was just a really inspiring little session that I had with her, and I eagerly anticipate her coming back. Thank you again for the readings.
Thank you. While there are others pondering what they want to share, I'll share a testimony from actually the February 6th Christian Science Sentinel that just came. And it's submitted from Ned McCarty in St. Louis, Missouri. But it's titled Quick Healing After Being Hit by a Bus. In January last year, I was visiting Buenos Aires and enjoying a beautiful walk. As I crossed a street, I heard a horn and loud noises and suddenly saw a city bus bearing down on me fast. I knew I couldn't get out of the way in time, but I felt no fear. I had been praying about the trip to Argentina, knowing that there is only one mind, God, who is always protecting and caring for his children. This had given me an abiding peace that stayed with me even in this emergency. In the next moment, I am bounced off the bus and then off the pavement. I felt no pain and was quickly able to get up, move to a sidewalk bench, and sit down. Through my study of Christian Science, I had learned that because God is ever present, all powerful good, evil has no real presence or power. God created each one of us in his own image, so we can't be injured any more than God can. I felt a freedom about shaking off this mishap. I prayerfully insisted, first mentally and then out loud, that I was fine. Police and emergency medical personnel soon appeared and started asking me questions while bandaging my ear, face, and knees. I texted a Christian Science practitioner and requested metaphysical treatment. In my message, I tried to minimize the incident by saying, "Please pray for me. Slight accident in Argentina." The practitioner immediately responded with, "Can't be slight. Either it happened or it did not. The spiritual fact is that it did not, and that's the revelation we will aim for." This point about the incident having never actually occurred was helpful. I prayed to understand that no matter how dramatic it seemed or how many people had witnessed it, the accident was in reality just a suggestion that I didn't have to accept as true. I called my wife back in the United States, and she was unwavering in her support. While I prayed to understand my exemption from chance, including accidents, the police and paramedics were friendly and helpful, and we were able to communicate in spite of the language barrier. I thank them for their kindness and for not opposing my desire to continue with my day rather than go to a hospital. I also apologize to the bus driver for my lack of attention while crossing the street. The officials let me go, although there was concern about me being by myself in an unfamiliar country. They said several times that there could be head trauma and internal injuries, but I assured them I would be okay. This was not wishful thinking or ignoring a problem. I really knew it to be the truth about my condition. I felt peaceful and embraced by God as I walked back to my hotel. When I arrived, I called the practitioner, and it was tempting to replay details of the incident in my mind, but he reminded me of this statement in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Accidents are unknown to God, immortal mind, and we must leave the mortal basis of belief and unite with the one mind in order to change the notion of chance to the proper sense of God's unerring direction and thus bring out harmony. And that's from page 424 in Science and Health. I was grateful that I had been protected from serious injury, but the bruises and bandages concerned me. The next day, I would be hosting several guests arriving for an educational group trip that I was a part of. I was worried that my appearance would be alarming to them and, frankly, embarrassed to explain what had happened. The practitioner assured me that we could leave these concerns to God's care. I let go of self-consciousness about my appearance, and as the days went by, the bruises were less noticeable and the bandages got smaller. None of the guests seemed interested in how I looked. Most of them were Christian Scientists and supportive of my full healing. In fact, one guest, who was a longtime friend, said helpfully, "Just as you are seeing yourself and others as perfect spiritual ideas, everyone is seeing you that way." After 5 days, I no longer needed bandages, and several fellow travelers commented to me about the wonderful healing I'd had. There were no scars or lingering problems from the incident. How grateful I am for the practicality and effectiveness of applying Christian Science to any situation. And submitted by Ned McCarty, St. Louis, Missouri. Pretty powerful sharing. Are there others here that would like to share? Then let's turn to the last hymn, 485. God of creation and Lord of my soul, be to me ever my one and my all. Your presence surrounds me by day and by night. While waking or sleeping, I live in your light. Hymn number 485.
Ours is a union that never will part. I know now within me that heaven is
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.